All right, we got a winner. Oh, we got a winner.
We got a winner.
And they're off.
And here we go.
It's been another week in racing. It's time to recap it. And who better to do it than Michael New Magic? Two bros / pros who cover the highs and lows of racing around the globe on every one of their shows. Real fans look forward to these guys and their last thoughts, cause they know they're not talking out of their royal ascots. What they say makes sense. So ladies and gents, sit back and relax as Blinkers Off presents The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week, The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
And this is The Magic Mike Show, episode 324. Mr. Samich.
Huzzah!
Boy, it's, you know what? We're going to start off with a little bit of a somber note. We lost an all-time Magic Mike great sire today. Suddenly, English Channel passed away. Pretty sad to see, but the nice thing about English Channel horses is they get better as they run, and they're going to be running for a long time. So we still get to enjoy them for several more years today.
Yeah, bummer, man. That was unexpected, too. It's tough when you hear that. And Pletcher mentioned this. English Channel is finally getting the credit that English Channel has deserved for a while for being, like, a legit, very good sire, not only on turf, but also on synthetic. So it's a bummer to lose English Channel. But luckily, we did have multiple seasons of you know, sons and daughters of English Channel is going to be on the track for a while. And hopefully, we can have that line grow, that pedigree grow, and get some sons and daughters of English Channel out there running pretty soon.
Hell, we had the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Turf favorite was a daughter of English Channel. So the Warlick got us. We had to see them going. But yeah, listen, other than that bummer, I'm excited for today because it's a little different. We're going to Churchill Downs where their turf course, that their brand new one that they're putting in, it's not going to be ready till the spring meet. So we weren't sure we wanted to go. But then we looked at the cards and frankly, some of the other tracks are pretty bad. So Churchill, it presents an interesting handicapping puzzle for us because there's two races, the first and the last, Mike, that are two-year-olds maidens going a one-turn dirt mile. These are horses that the intention is to go to the Kentucky Derby Trail from this point. So it's going to be an interesting puzzle for those two races. I'm excited to talk to you about it.
Yeah, and there's another – I mean, we got 3 2-year-old races in here, which makes it awfully interesting. The third one, it's really a unique setup. You have two races with two horses that are sub 2-to-1, so you kind of have to make some decisions if you're going to play one or the other because playing both gets you in a little bit of a predicament. And then we get to see two horses that probably should have been at the Breeders' Cup last week based on the way the Gamine ran. So it's a fun little four-race sequence. Looking forward to getting down, getting dirty. Got a cheap 50-cent ticket and then a $5 ticket that's actually more expensive than the cheap 50-cent ticket.
Yeah, you and I both went pretty cheap. You were going to press your opinions. I went back and forth about that, and I ended up not doing it. We can talk about it later. Before we get there, though, you said you have something that's really off the wall, unique for the best thing that you saw.
Yeah, so I suck at charging phones. Like, I'm terrible at it. So, it's a weird thing. I'm always at, like, 10% battery, 20% battery, whatever it is. I always forget to plug my phone in. I always don't. Like, I'll leave it, and then it'll vibrate, and I'll pick it up, unplug it, and then it'll only charge, like, 2%, whatever. So I'm also pretty, how's the right word to put it? I'm a little violent with my phone. So I often break phones, you know, not gentle. There you go. So the power charger part of my phone no longer works. And it got to the point where like I could not charge it at all. I don't know if you saw in like the car, I had to like bend it over and put the top end to get the charging part to work. So I went to Best Buy on Thursday morning and I bought a wireless charger. And holy shit, it has changed my life. Like, it is the most amazing thing in the world. It is easily the best thing I saw all day today. I am more excited about my little wireless charger sitting here in front of my desk because now I just put my phone on it and it just charges my phone. It's incredible. If you don't have one of these, you need to go get them. It costs like $20. It is so great because then every day at the end when I walk out of my office, my phone's at 100%. Every time. It's so incredible. Like, I never expected to be this excited about a wireless charger. And I'm just like so pumped up about it that I had to say, easily the best thing I saw, maybe all year. It's so incredible. I love wireless chargers. I had no idea.
That's I love how excited you are about this. So I am also part of the Not Gentle Club to the point that every phone I've had since I've had the Nextel, you remember the big bulky Nextels that were, I dropped it off the roof of my house from above the second story, bounced off the asphalt, one little scratch on it. But anyways, I have an OtterBox, And I'm always worried about the wireless chargers not going through something so sturdy. So what's your advice on that?
See, I don't have anything on my phone. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't actually like break the phone. I'm just like not gentle with the plugging it in and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I know. Trust me, I'm definitely behind the curve on this wireless charging thing. But no one ever was like, it will change your life. You need to do this. Now everyone was like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. So now I'm like looking at wireless chargers on Amazon. Is there like a big family pad that you can get that I can put down in the kitchen and just put that there? Like I'm getting deep in the wireless charging game now after like 2 days of having this thing.
That's incredible. By the way, welcome to Nick. I haven't seen you in the chat in a while, so glad to, I know he's been really busy with work, so I'm glad to see he's able to join us today. The best thing that I saw, Mike, I'm going to cheat. The best thing I saw is going to be tomorrow, November 12th. Do you know what holiday tomorrow is?
I'm going to guess that you're excited because the Marvel movie is going to be on Disney+.
Disney Plus days tomorrow, baby. Yeah, Shang-Chi is coming. I've been waiting. I haven't seen it. Didn't go to theaters to see it. I've been waiting patiently for it to show up. So that's going to be on Disney Plus. Jungle Cruise, which everybody told me is like The Mummy, which the Brendan Fraser Mummy, which I love that movie. I was like, fantastic.
Yeah, so you better specify which mummy.
Yes, I know. I kept saying that to Celeste, and she would say, Tom Cruise one? No, the good one, the good one. Yeah. There's going to be a new like Marvel Studios special that's like documenting how they made the entire like the whole Infinity Stone arc and like the writers' rooms that they had. It's going to be like it's going to be so cool. So if you're a Marvel nut, a Disney nut, a Star Wars nut, there's going to be all sorts of new Star Wars movie news coming out. So it's going to be a really great day for nerds.
I'm a little embarrassed that I knew that answer.
When I said holiday and it had that look in my eye, you probably knew what I was going to do.
Not the comic books on the wall behind you that give it away.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mike. There's no comic books up there. What are you talking about? On today's show, we're going to be looking at the late pick four at Churchill Downs on Saturday, November, what day is it? 13th. Yeah, I had to do the math a minute. November 13th, which has 3 2-year-old races and a dirt sprint stakes that honestly is going to be better than the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Sprint. Let's get into it, Mike. Riders up. All right, Mike, kicking things off for the late pick four sequence at Churchill Downs on Saturday, November 13th. Race 8 on the card. This is the first. It's a split division. A field of 10 2-year-old maiden boys going a mile, a one-turn mile on the dirt course. Favoritism is on number 7, Seal Beach at 7-2 for trainer Mike Maker, taking a big class drop from the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity. I thought of the two races, the two split divisions, this was the hard one, and the other one was the easier one. I think you saw it a different way.
Well, no, I think that you're correct if you mean by hard the deeper division. I think this division has more talent. I think the other division, I didn't think either of these were actually that tough to handicap. I like a horse in both of them, which is kind of crazy. I'm going to start with Steel Beach. I hate this horse. I have no interest in this horse. You're saying he's taking a class drop from the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Future or Breeders' Futurity? He didn't run in that race. So you don't get credit for class dropping if you never run a step. Like, no, that's not allowed. He ran 3 maidens before that and didn't do much. And well, that's not fair. He ran well in all 3 of those maidens, but he wasn't able to get the win in any of them. And it wasn't like he faced world beaters in any of those either, which is a big part of why I'm going to lean or fade away from Seal Beach and not use the horse at all. I watched a couple replays for this, and I wasn't expecting to pick this horse, but the 5 Mask Patrol, if you have not watched the replay for that first out race, it's an absolute must watch. The horse is hung, 10 wide on the second turn, or the first turn, the only turn, and makes this middle move, doesn't break great, makes a middle move, rushes up into a pace where the top 3 finishers all were on the pace, ends up legit 7-8 wide around that turn heading into the stretch, and then just kind of flattens out. It's a really nice effort for a first-time starter, and the fact that if we can get out a little bit better, if we're able to get a little bit closer, the kick is definitely there. On my $5 ticket, I'm going to single up the 5 horse, try and create a differentiator right away. On the 50 center, I'll start with the 5. I know I texted you and told you to watch this replay for Mask Patrol. Did you watch the replay, and did you use the horse?
Yes and yes. Nice. Yeah.
Okay. Did you have the horse on the ticket before the replay?
I did, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, but I wasn't as strong. I was like, wait, it was like the horse was like one of the last ones on. And you're like, watch it. And so I went back and watched it a second time. I was like, oh, okay, now I see what he sees. So I am glad that you did influence me. So Hardspawn, as if, you know, first time 2 year old, he's only 8%, but overall he's 13%. So his horses get better with experience, as you would expect a 2 year old to do. The dam was 0-6 on dirt. Siblings just 1-23, and that one victory, the horse was 4 years old. I'm going to ignore all of that. The breeding says Hardspawn out of a Smart Strike mare. This should be a horse that hits. You've got great connections here with Brendan Walsh, who's going to be patient with the horse. This is a great spot. The horse was bet in that debut. A 10-horse field, this horse was 9-2 on debut, and Brendan Walsh isn't a super striker first time out. So that caught my attention as well. I am worried a little bit that this horse is going to get overbet because that debut buyer figure of 74, I'm afraid that's going to attract too much attention. So that's partly why I went a little deep here, and why initially I hadn't considered this horse. You went three deep, and the other one that we agree on is the 10 Epicenter. So I'll start and then kick it over to you. A big reason for me, this sire, not this time. 24% with two-year-olds. Are you kidding me? That means one out of every four times he has a two-year-old in a race that's just going to win. That's ridiculous. That's pretty damn good, I think. Makes me forget the fact that the Candy Ride mare that this is out of, the siblings, 0-3 at H2, I don't care. None of them were by not this time. None of them were by a 24% juvenile sire. On top of that, the horse in his debut was buried inside, got stuck inside, faded. You expect that with a debuting two-year-old. Now we're drawn all the way outside, almost in the parking lot, and look at that jockey upgrade. It's not 0-10 at the meet Ricardo. It is Joel Rosario, who's 0-5, but has more on the board of finishes in those five than Ricardo has in 10. So getting a big upgrade here. I'm going to ride the bell curve to the very top here for this Steve Asmussen trainee. Did I miss anything?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. Look, Asmussen's been good second time out. He's 21% at this meet after the terrible Keeneland meet, so I'm not concerned about that. It seems like the barn has turned the corner there. Like the fact that he had Rosario. I like Not This Time as a sire. So Not This Time, obviously, as you mentioned, very good there too. I think that the 5 and the 10 are two of the standouts here. I'm only going to go one other horse. I like the Brad Cox horse, starts to the inside, Hornbeam. It's a Union Rags colt that was homebred by Judmont. I think it's interesting that you see a couple works on Keeneland's track, and then you're going back to Turf Paradise, but then you end up here at Churchill for the debut. The debuting in a mile, it's like a lot of trainers, I'm really concerned with it. Brad Cox is interesting. He's 15% first time out. He's 16% debuting in a mile. A lot of trainers, you see that number drop significantly. For him, being just a little bit better kind of points me to liking the horse a little bit more. He's got two in here. I don't have much interest in the other. That's why this 9 was the last one on the ticket for me. But, you know, I feel like this is a first-time starter that could pop, and I want to try and find a little bit more of prices. I don't agree with you necessarily. I think you're going to get close to 4-1 on Mass Patrol. I think there's enough spread out interest in this race. I think the 8-7 flat takes money. I think the 9 Hornbeam, the 10 Epicenter probably stay around their morning line. And I think Steel Beach gets bet down pretty heavily, to be honest with you. So I think there's enough horses in here that can take money that will help the price on the 5. And hopefully the 9 or the 10 float up a little bit. We can beat a favorite, get through the next leg, and get a decent price home here.
I toyed initially with going all in this race because I went pretty cheap with my 50-cent ticket as well. And if I lose one or two scratches here, I might end up doing it, or if the race just shrinks a little bit. And the 9 Hornbeam is a reason why I consider going all, because I didn't know what to do with this horse. I ended up not using him. Union Rags is not that strong at 2 years old, producing just 9%, but he himself was pretty strong. He was a grade one winner at age two. So you would think that he would be better than 9% with firsters at 2 years old. But you know, the Grand Dam side, the Grand Dam was two wins from three starts at age two. The Dams produced siblings that were 0-2 on debut, but have two wins from three starts overall. So it's a little hard to figure out. I feel like this horse is ultimately going to try on the turf, which is being by Union Rags makes you go, don't do it. But the pedigree on the Dam side is, it's very heavy turfy. And I mentioned at the top of the show that Churchill doesn't have a turf course until the spring. If you're in Kentucky, you don't have a turf course to run on until Turfway Park opens up or you go down to Fairgrounds. This race and the other two-year-old races, I felt like there are these horses here because they don't have anywhere to run on turf, and so they're just going to try and get a race in. That's ultimately where I landed with the 9, but it's a very interesting horse here. Could be any kind.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I respect the heck out of Brad Cox and these first-time starters. I don't The bottom side does is a little more turfy, but the top side, that Union Rags, like you mentioned, we always talk about Union Rags, 3 to 4% any given day there on turf, not generally what we want to see on turf. You went pretty deep here. I liked one other of your horses. So rate your others in order, and I will jump in when you mention the horse that I liked.
When you told me you almost singled a horse here, my first guess was my top pick. It's the number 3 Surfer Dude for Dallas Stewart. This is a horse that's got, it's a curling colt out of a Tis Now mare. You would think this horse is going to be able to run all day. I like the fact that they tried a mile in the 16th at Keeneland last time. It didn't work, but this horse has been improving each time. And I like that the buyer continued to improve last out when he went 2 turns. A lot of times you see that drop, especially for 2-year-olds. That last race was won by Giant Game. He finished a really nice third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last time out. So he went right from finishing third on debut, then he breaks his maiden, beats Surfer Dude, and then he goes out and finishes third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. The race 2 back produced 3 next out winners, including Giant Game. So he's been running against good competition. He was behind Seal Beach in that race 2 back, but I'm using him, you're not. So I'm not that worried that he was behind Seal Beach there. The Dam is a grade 1 winning Dirt Router. She won the Ogden Phipps. And the only sibling to race at age 2, won at age 2. So there is potential for this horse. I like that I'm getting 5-1. I really didn't. I thought it would be a little shorter than this. But is this the other horse that you liked?
No. I considered this horse. But I just felt like the 10's faster. And I think that part of the reason the buyer came back so high is because they went a mile and 16th going 24.49 on the 3 last time out. And I don't think you're getting away with that. I think that's the 10 horse is going to be the one that controls the pace up front. So that was one of the reasons I ended up not using the 3. So next.
Next. In order. Shoot, now I've got to try and figure it out. I'm not even going to know where to rank the 7. He was a defensive use for me just because I don't want to get knocked out in the first leg. I'm going to go with the 8. This is a horse that was 5-1 on debut for Ron Moquette and Julien Leperu at Churchill Downs. The start completely screwed up. The horse was taken out of it or right away from that point on. What's the point? You scratch that race out. Now we come back. We're going a mile at Churchill. Julian's staying aboard. A horse that was bet down to 5-1 on debut is now 8-1 off of a race that I'm scratching off. I feel like this is value that I can't pass up. Like, this horse needs to be on the ticket because it was 5-1 on debut, and now with experience, I'm getting a better price.
Nope. Next.
Damn. Okay. Well, so Flatter's 13% with 2-year-olds, and the Grand Am was 3-5 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner. How about the 1 all the way on the rail? I really like this horse, Minnesota Ready. If you play Canterbury Park, this is a Lothenbach Stables horse. You're used to seeing Lothenbach Stables at Canterbury a lot, and I feel like they named this horse Minnesota Ready because they think he's going to be really strong at Canterbury next year as a 3-year-old. Could potentially end up being a turf horse with the breeding from the Dam side, but the Dam was, she had 2 starts in dirt, both 8-furlong dirt stakes. She finished 3rd both times, pretty respectable, was a turf horse, but more than ready, 14% as a 2-year-old. Listen, I think the Keeneland turf try, I think it was a good one, but I like that they put this horse at a mile, thinking this horse wants a distance. Well, you're going to get a mile here, and you're going 1 turn, so maybe you can carry that a little better.
That's the winner. I think the there 1 horse go. Is legit here. I like, you didn't mention the second time out, Neil Pessin, who's a lesser known trainer, 79 starts for the year. Second start, he's 33%. Then you combine that with his turf to dirt number, 22 tries, 23% going turf to dirt. I wouldn't be shocked if that first race was just, let's get a race into this horse. And we were going to go a mile. We're probably not going to be able to win the race anyway. And but so Eden Prairie is the Dam, which is why I think you get the Minnesota side of it. That's just outside of Minneapolis. But yes, they also run at Canterbury. And the fact that this horse is in Kentucky tells me what you think of this horse. They're trying to get a big time, big price maiden special weight race. So I didn't use the 1 on my ticket. If I had decided to go from $18 to what, $24, I would have included the 1 on the 50-cent ticket. I probably should include the 1 on the 50-cent ticket. You know what? I'm going to add the 1 to my 50-cent ticket. So we're going to use the 1 Minnesota Ready as well.
You're getting 12-1 with the biscuit in the basket. That's going to be a good one. Let's move on. Well, Mike updates his ticket. I listed off my 6 horses there. Race 9 is the second leg here in Churchill Downs on Saturday, November 13th. This is a 7 2-year-old fillies going 6 furlongs on the dirt. These are non-winners to lifetime in for the favoritism is number 3, A Girl with a Dream at 8-5. Second choice is number 5, Lady Denai at 9-5. Mike, I singled up the 3. I don't think this is a very strong race, and I think that she is the best of a pretty okay group of horses.
Good pick. I like the 3 as well. This is one of those interesting races. We have 2 horses, one that's 7-5, one that's 8-5, one that's 9-5. I think you have to pick between the 2. And you know, I don't mind taking a horse first time dirt, especially at a price. I don't love taking a horse first time dirt, at 9 to 5. Like, there's something wrong with that in my mind, especially because when you think about this and you go through, okay, what are you looking for when you have a horse? Well, you want a good dirt horse. That's the first thing you want in the U.S. There's more money running on dirt. So the fact that Lady Danae starts on turf, runs three times on turf before trying dirt, and now we're trying dirt, makes me think they really think turf is a better surface for this horse, right? Like, so I'm not super excited about Lady Danae now trying dirt, even though the pedigree said it shouldn't be bad. It's just, it's not, you know, probably the preferred surface. It probably is turf. Girl with a Dream, on the other hand, ran very well at Ellis, was able to break the maiden, goes up and faces Echo Zulu. We know how Echo Zulu and Tarabi was in that race as well, how good they were. Faces Knowing Glance as a favorite, just misses there. I think this horse is ready to go. So the three horse to me was the most logical top pick. I am going to go too deep here in the $5 ticket, but the three was my top pick in this spot. The other horse I'm going to use in the $5 ticket is going to be the 7 Pipeline Girl all the way to the outside. To me, this is just one of those where you saw the talent first time out at Churchill, wins $101,000 maiden special weight. Okay. Amos says, let's go to Kentucky Downs. They've got these monster purses. Let's send her there. She runs okay. I mean, ends up running third after setting the pace, going 6.5 furlongs. Then goes to the grade one Alcibiade. Like, this tells you how much they thought about this horse to go from a 101 maiden special weight to a Kentucky Downs race to a grade one race at Keeneland. Horse doesn't run a step at Keeneland. Don't care. Horse shouldn't be going two turns anyway. So let's get back to this Churchill Down race, the first race of the horse's career. We're back on the dirt. We're back sprinting. I mean, to me, this is what this horse wants to do. The buyer number, 61, very good for a maiden start. And then you go, oh, by the way, Bullet Workout. 47-1 last time out of Churchill. The 7's ready to roll. And this horse likes the dirt more than the turf. So you draw a line through the turf race. The mile and 16th was too far. Draw a line through that. And all of a sudden, any logical progression puts the 7 horse right there at the wire. So for me, the 3 and the 7 were the two horses I thought you kind of had to use in this spot.
So when I handicap this, I put a note that if the 3 scratches, the 7 is my single here. I really like the 7. 9 of the 10 siblings to race are winners. Only one of them won at 2, but the fact that 9 of the 10 siblings out of this mare all won, that they could be all $5,000 claimers, that's pretty damn remarkable for that to happen. So there is a lot of just natural talent that this filly has, and you touched on some great points. Tell me about the 2 Divine Charger, 10-1 long shot, but Bejarano getting aboard especially caught my eye.
Well, this is ironic because I just bashed horses going from turf to dirt, but that was at a short price. I don't
you
care
if clarify, like, yeah.
9 to 5 is the problem with the 5 horse to me. The 2 horse, I'm getting 10-1 first time dirt. And so that to me is a lot more interesting. I really liked the fact that they sent this horse Kentucky Downs. I think that's an upside. Was in that race with Pipeline Girl, had trouble early in the race, and was still able to end up finishing 6th in that spot out of 12 horses. That's not bad for that spot. I actually think this horse is more bred for the dirt. And so I'm more interested in seeing what happens here when we ship this horse over to the dirt. Horse is going to need to improve, but Jordan Blair, 17% overall, is 19% off this type of layoff. Turf to dirt, 21%. He's 18% with 2-year-olds with a $5.35 ROI. And like you said, I like the fact, I feel like Mena to Bejarano is an upgrade here. So I'm going to go ahead and flop, throw the 2 on as well and see if we can get a decent price home and kind of upset the apple cart a little bit.
Nick Feldman in the chat agrees. He says that the pace might heat up. The horse is going turf to dirt, has the best late pace figure of all the horses in the race, and she's run 3 really consistent races, should be plenty fit. Yeah, I agree. She's very intriguing there. I wanted to get back to Girl with a Dream. This is a huge jockey upgrade, and I'm not pooping on Florent Giroux specifically, like in general. Florent, watch that replay last out when she lost. He fell asleep at the 8th pole. He literally just puts the whip down and hand rides her, and Knowing Glance just like with all the momentum. And as she, like, I don't know if Flo thought she just, like, he didn't see her or what happened, but Joel Rosario will never let that happen. So that's what another reason that I felt better about this horse after losing that last race. Did you watch that replay by any chance?
I did. It was also at 6.5. So we're not going that extra half furlong, which I think is a benefit to the 3 as well. So that's, you know, I think the 3 and the 7 there are head and shoulders above the field from a handicapping perspective. I think the 2 is the price that is intriguing. The turf to dirt horse that you should look for. Because if a horse is trying something new, 4 starts into the career, and it's not a drop in class, you got to demand some type of value on that horse if you want to make money long term.
One of my favorite handicapping adages is never take a short price on a horse doing something new for the first time, and definitely don't do it if they're 2 years old. Let's move on next to, Mike, the feature race of the Churchill Downs Saturday card on November 13th, Saturday, race 10. This is the $300,000 Dream Supreme Stakes, field of seven fillies and mares, four and up, sprinting six furlongs on the dirt. And Mike, this is not the first time you and I have talked about this race. We actually, just before going live, recorded a full in-depth race preview of this. It's going to go up on the Racing Dudes YouTube channel. So go youtube.com/racingdudes. Check out that and the other previews. We'll have a couple from Del Mar coming up as well. But Mike, for this race, I kind of know who you're going to pick because of that one. But you've got two fillies who just love to fight against each other in these dirt sprints. Bell's the one is your 7-5 favorite from the six post. Sconson, 9-5 from post four, second choice. Club Car, who was right there with Bell's the one, she's 4-1. And then you have Frank's Rocket, 9-2. There's a lot of speeds. You could get some horses, falling apart, stumble bunning. You might get somebody loose on the lead here. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those races where I felt like you could go three deep if you wanted to. You could go four deep if you wanted to. But the fact of the matter is the most likely winner here is Bell's the one. And at 7-5, I'm not really interested in when I think the horse has a legit shot at winning about 50% of the time. I think even money is not a bad price on Bell's the one in this field. I just had to single because I didn't feel like I had enough upside in trying to fade Bell's the one. The horses I would fade Bell's the one with would be the 2 LEZ or the 7 Frank's Rocket. I don't like Sconson at all in this spot. I realize that Sconson beat Bell's the one the last time they faced, but if you look back further, Bell's the one is clearly the classier horse, and so I would rather have Bell's the one than Sconson. I don't think you can use both. I think that's a treacherous way to build a ticket. So for me, I just felt like 6 Bell's the one is the best horse. I think Bell's the one probably would have won the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint if she showed up after what you saw from Gamine and CeCe. Like, I would have taken Bell's the one in that spot after seeing the race run. So I think she's by far the classiest horse in this field. Honestly, I mentioned the 2 and the 7 a little bit, and I'll look at your ticket real quick to see if you use either of them. Oh, you haven't put it in yet? Oh, yeah, you did. So you didn't use either of them. So I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Look, Frank's Rocket, if she could run back to what she did as a 3-year-old, she's got the numbers to win this race. She's been pretty bad the last two, though, and that is the main problem. Are we going to see that reversal of form? And then the 2 and the 3 are your two most likely speed horses. So my big question is, if one doesn't break, if one stumbles, if the 2 clears, can that horse go wire to wire? It's 6 furlongs at Churchill. Someone can go wire to wire. It's definitely possible. So for me, the 2 and the 7 would be the other I include. But look, I think the 6 wins this race 50% of the time. And if I'm thinking it's about that, then I don't see how you can't single the horse.
Bell's the one. I'm with you. I think this horse should have been at the I was so angry. I was so angry when he passed on the Breeders' Cup for this race because Neil Pessin ran his damn mouth all year long about how she wasn't getting respect and he couldn't wait to sell at the Breeders' Cup, and then he passed. If you're not going to sell it on the track, I don't know what you're going to do. I said out of the TCA stakes that Bell's the one won by a neck over Club Car, that the horse I wanted out of that race the most was Club Car because that was her first start after a 2-month break. She was already improving late in her 5-year-old season, and then she adds blinkers for the first time in her career, and you get a career best effort out of her. Now she's going to be second off of the layoff. She's coming to Churchill where 3 of her 5 wins have been. She's hit the board in 6 of her 8 tries over this track. I think that this horse with Joel Rosario is going to have a better trip than last time. Gaff Leon going into the turn had got really stuck behind traffic, had to wait and tip out. And I said after we previewed or after we recapped that race on the show that I thought she was the better horse and that's the one I want next. And frankly, this is my top pick. I'm going to go 5-6 in this race. I think that 5 is the sneaky one here.
My biggest problem with the 5 is the distance. That race was at 7 furlongs. We're going 6 today.
No, that was at 6.
Oh, hey, it's 7. Mm-mm. TCA. Oh, never mind. You're right. It's a 6. So still, I'm going to leave with the distance problem. Bell's the one is 6-7 at the distance, and Club Car is 2-12.
There you go.
And that's where the biggest issue for me lands is that this is like Bell's the one is very, very good going 6. And this is kind of, I also like, if you look at that, that was kind of Bell's the one's B effort somewhere in that range. Yeah. She is 10% better than what we saw that day on any given day. And so the fact that there is significant upside to Bell's the one just from that race, I think is pretty important. Club Car could definitely improve again in this spot. I don't disagree with you. Second off is a big spot. And you know, I would definitely have Rosario over Lannery any day of the week. So I'm not going to knock that either. I like 5-6, I think is good. It's the 4 that to me, I think that there's the 4 is going to be way over bet. And I think has maybe a 10% chance of winning this race.
It's going to be a fun match, though. I we got a 4-5-6 battle coming wide down the stretch as the two is like loose on the lead, but like barely trying to hold on because it's dirt. And it's going to be a fun race. And again, if you want a full in-depth preview beyond this, go check out the Racing Dudes YouTube channel. It'll be up pretty soon, later Thursday evening. Meanwhile, Mike, we're going to move on to the fourth and final leg of the late pick four sequence at Churchill Downs on Saturday, November 13th. Race 11 looks just like race 8 on the card, field of 10 two-year-old maidens, although this time we do actually have a gelding in the mix. Among them, you got the favorite number 4, Call Me Midnight at 5-2. Number 1, Almanzo for Brad Cox and Florent Giroux on the rail at 3-1. I feel like you have to decide between those two horses. You can't use both. Maybe you didn't use either one. What you doing?
I ended up putting one of those two on top. Look, I went with a 4, Call Me Midnight. I think this horse has a little bit better back class. We mentioned how this is the weaker division. This horse is coming out of that Seal Beach giant game race that we referenced, that two of the horses or three of the horses ran from the first division. This horse ran fourth in that race. Probably a replication of that is good enough to win this race. I don't see nearly as much in here that I think is a threat. You look through the first timers. You know, I am going to use one of them, but I don't necessarily love that horse. we'll get into that in a second because I'm going with one Cox over the other, and that's not something I usually like to do. But here, you know, Call Me Midnight to me is the horse that you want. I think that you're going to see a little bit of improvement after going a mile and a 16th, cutting back to one turns, I think is a good thing. You saw a Surfer Dude who ran third last time out. Giant Game wins that race. Call Me Midnight was right between them. If we get a repeat effort of either of the last two, I think Call Me Midnight is good enough to win this race.
I used Call Me Midnight. I ended up going two deep here. I'm sorry, I went three deep, didn't I? No. Did I go two deep or three deep? What did I write down? I did go three deep. You're right. The last second I changed it. And it's three horses that you used as well. Call Me Midnight wasn't my top pick, but I think is definitely a horse that you need to use. And we talked in race 8 about a lot of the horses that this horse was facing in the past. I don't love that this horse is, you know, 25-1, 26-1, 8-1, 5-2. A little bit of a short price, but really, we talked about it with race 8, Mike. This depth-wise, this is a much lighter field. I think this horse is in the other races a much better price. Let's talk about the 8 horse, who is my top pick, one that you used as well. Quick to Blame is a first-time starter for Brad Cox. I'm with you. I used one Cox, not the other, and this is the one we both went with. Blame is 11% with first-time two-year-olds, but that bumps up to 16% overall with two-year-olds who have experience. You talked about in race 8, Brad Cox, great with debuting horses at or greater than a mile, so not worried about that. A dirt stakes winning Grand Dam for this horse broke her maiden over this track and distance. She ended up having a really successful career. And then I really love to round things out. Look at that foundation of works this horse has had. Lots of solid 5 furlongs. That 5 furlongs at Keeneland from the gate in 59-2. The back-to-back 5 furlong works in, you know, a minute here at Churchill Downs. I think this horse is going to be really ready to fire. And I love that Florent Giroux chose the other one.
Yeah, that 5 furlong gate work at Keeneland is an absolute monster work for this horse. This horse is bred in spades. The mile distance should hit this horse right between the eyes. This is a Gary and Mary West horse as well. Something that you often tell me is that they, like you mentioned at the top of the show, maybe there's a Derby horse in here. This is the Derby horse if there's one in here. I'm not going to say it is a Derby horse, but if there is one, this is the one that I would point to. It's bred for the distance. It's a Gary and Mary West horse going to the Brad Cox barn. Like, if I picked any horse out of these three races, this would be the horse that I think actually would have a legit shot at eventually earning Derby points. So be interesting to see how it debuts. It's one of the reasons why I'm definitely going to use the 8 horse. I went 3 deep in both the 50 cent. Actually, I think I went 4 deep in the 50 cent. And I went 3 deep in the $5 ticket here. I'm interested to see how this horse runs. I'm a little perturbed that it's Rosario and not Giroux that's on this horse. It's the only reason why I didn't have this horse as my top pick. Not because necessarily what you're thinking of, who's the better jockey, but because Brad Cox seems to like Florent Giroux over Joel Rosario as a first pick jockey. So that, but you know, then again, I mean, you have like Nick's Go where you have Brad Cox there. So like, to me, it's kind of 6-1, half to the other, but you just see so many more efforts, and that may just because of where they're based too. I mean, you see Cox much more in Kentucky than you do in New York or Florida where Rosario has been riding. So maybe that's not a really big tell, but to me, that's a little bit of a concern that you don't have the top jockey from the barn, that you're getting an outside jockey, but that it may also be a plus if this horse is as good as I think it could be. So I do like Quick to Blame quite a bit. And the other horse I'm going to use in the $5 tickets right to the outside, it's the 9 horse Euler out of the Steve Asherson barn. This horse is really well bred again. Uncle Mo out of A Devil Is Due mare. The first effort was one of those where you watch it back and you're like, yeah, the horse never really had a chance. Asterson's 21% second time out. Going from sprint to a route, he's 19%. And this horse always seemed like it wanted more distance. And it was just chasing too fast of a pace, too far outside. So I'm expecting the 9 to take a pretty decent step forward here in second effort.
Yeah, I like the 9 as well for all the reasons you mentioned. Just to touch on the Cox thing, why Florent. Florent rode the other horse in his previous two starts. So maybe he's – and it's a Don Alberto. So maybe he feels loyalty to that horse or for that reason. But it is a valid reason to be a little concerned about the 8. You ended up not – I thought if you're going to go 4 deep, you'd use a different horse. But you ended up going with the 6 Lake Tahoe here as well for Ron Moquette, Julien Le Perrou, an angle that I used for a different horse.
Oh, I have to find it. Yeah, this is the one who I think is actually going to get the lead in this spot. And because of that, I decided to throw him on the ticket. There isn't a ton of pace in here. And this is one of those spots where I think Le Perrou may just get loose on the lead. I like the fact they're going 2 sprints to a route. So you kind of have that foundation built underneath this horse. And it seems like it's trained decently well. I also really like the 10-1 price. If you're telling me that I'm going to get the horse who I think is going to be on the lead at 10-1 at Churchill going a mile without that much pressure on a ticket that's costing $24, I'm going to throw that horse in there.
The other one, there's Le Perrou and Moquette have a horse together in the 8 that I use. So that's the other one I use. And that's a good angle. I didn't use because I'm really not sure, you know, what's going to happen pace-wise here. You seem to think Lake Tahoe is going to go. A horse that I didn't use but I was really curious about was the 5 Schmooze. Did you consider the 5 Schmooze at all? This is a Kenny McPeak, Brian Hernandez Jr. first-time starter. And I think that first-time starter angle is what scared me away because this horse, the gates haven't, or the works haven't really been that strong. There's been a lot of gate works recently, and I'm starting to wonder maybe this horse has got a little bit of problem coming out of the gate. They gelded this horse back in February as a 2-year-old. That usually means this horse was having an attitude issue. So I this is a horse I'm going to watch a little bit here because the Lone Sib to Race did win the debut at 2, later won a couple of turf route allowances. So this might end up being a turf horse. I'm just really curious to see what he does out of the gate.
I mean, I wouldn't knock anyone for using the Kenny McPeak horse right now. The guy's 42%, something crazy like that at Churchill Downs, usually a 15%.
8 for 12 trainer on the board, yeah.
Yeah, like usually he's 9%, I think, first-time starters. I don't like Kenny McPeak that much as a trainer. This may be my like New York, Florida, California bias. So you don't see him very often. When you do, he's usually not very good unless Ortiz is up. This is one of those horses where I rarely get to. I'm just like a Kenny McPeak first time starter in a race where I think that there's some decent horses in is not going to be a horse I usually end up on. Generally speaking, I see more of his horses. Again, this is just me talking out my rear here. I see more of his horses winning from off the lead, which isn't necessarily what I'm looking for in a 2-year-old mile race, a first-time starter. I looked at it. No, I couldn't do it.
Last one, Dennis. Oh, by the way, Dennis says, you think this race drew so many they split it? Yeah, I don't have a look at the condition book, but I would assume that they just had 22-year-olds that signed up for one race and they split it.
Yeah, Dennis says, especially since there's 11 races on the day. I bet they planned for 10 and then they split it.
Dennis says he likes the 3 stretching out. The 3 is Twirling Blues. 2 previous races, one was a rained off the turf at Ellis Park, and then the other was a Keeneland dirt sprint. Both races were from the one post. Now he's drawn the 3, so slightly better spot there. There could be a price that will, just 15-1. I think you'll get every bit of that. The slow starts concern me. I also think this is a turf horse ultimately. The Dam was a 4-time winner on turf, and Twirling Candy is excellent on any surface. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's where they go. But what do you think, Mike?
I would keep an eye on that 5 in the first race. It's coming out of the same race as the 5 did in the first part of this division. So if the 5 airs, I would upgrade the 3. I think the 3's way to win this race would try and go gate to wire or to get out there and be forwardly placed and see what happens. That may be a little tough because both the presence of the 1 and the 6 in this spot. But look, again, a 15-1, I wouldn't try and talk you off it, right? That's another one where, like, if you have a feeling there, I would throw that horse on the ticket. You are getting second off layoff and 2 sprints to a route. So there's a bunch of angles that you could point you toward that 3 horse. It's one that's kind of like, again, like the 5. It's not for me, but I totally get it if you're using the horse.
A couple of friends of ours from Fauner Park, the married couple Kelly and Armando Martinez, or as Aaron calls them, the Martinez brothers, they're here with not one but 2 horses. You've got a 50-1 shot in the dirt sprint that neither of us talked about, and then you got the 7 Loon Shot, who more like Moonshot, am I right? Sorry, dad joke. This horse is claimed off of Kenny McPeak and shows up here. You talk a lot, Mike, about the connections that go to these boutique meets like a Keeneland or a Del Mar, and they bring their, you know, they might be from Fauner Park and they show up. Slightly different situation because it's Churchill, but do you read anything into this that they claimed a horse from Keeneland and instead of going to the Midwest or, you know, in the middle of nowhere, they go to Churchill?
I mean, this horse looks wildly overmatched. Let's start with that. It's interesting, too, because they had success at Keeneland bringing horses from smaller tracks. Like Batavia, I think it was, or Patera, with Baltero Downs. They had two winners that came from there that ran well at Keeneland, but it was all in like the $10,000 to $16,000 claiming level, or the $10,000 allowance, or the $8,000 allowance. This is slightly higher of a race. we didn't talk about him in the stakes because there's two like wildly good horses, and this is a 20K maiden claimer jumping up to $101,000 maiden special weight. Like, that's a significant jump for a horse that's not shown anything in the past performances that the jump is valid. I think they're probably shooting a little bit over their head here, right? I mean, I'm sorry, it's $120,000 maiden special weight. So literally 6X the claim price here. I mean, the horse was 4-1 in that maiden 20 and had a bad trip and ran second. So I it's probably a good claim. This is probably a little over its head. I think can we agree on that? Is that a good synopsis? Yes.
That's going to do this episode of the Magic Mike Show. Thanks for joining Mike and I to talk about Churchill Downs late pick 4 on Saturday, November 13th. We'll go ahead and give our tickets one last time. But if you are watching on YouTube, give us a replay, give us a like, a thumbs up. It really helps us out. The YouTube channel blew up over Breeders' Cup, and a lot of you loyal listeners and followers are a big reason that happened. So thank you very much. Take a look below. We've got our tickets here. I will start out with my 50-cent ticket. It is very cheap. So if you want to press your opinions or go all in the first leg, by all means, I'm going to go 1, 3, 5, 7, 8, 10 with the 3, with 5, 6, with 4, 8, 9. That's $18. Again, if you want to press that or hit the all button in the first leg, go for it. And Mike, so much go for you.
You have an uncanny ability of making sure mine is not scrolling at the bottom when you tell me to go ahead and do it. So I'm going to.
Almost like I'm watching it.
Almost like you're
ramble
trying.
Until it disappears off the screen. And hey, maybe I can do it a second. I'm just kidding.
All right. I'm going to play a 50-cent ticket first. And I'm just going to flip over to the banner section and read it off there. I'm going to go with the 1, 5, 9, 10 with 2, 3, 7 with 6 with 4, 6, 8, 9 for 50 cents. That'll cost you $24. Then I'm going to play a $5 ticket, 5 with 3, 7 with 6 with 4, 8, 9 for $5. That will cost you $30 for a total of $54.
It's going to be pretty cheap tickets for us, 50 cent wise. So, but again, like what Mike did with the $5 ticket, feel free to press your opinions. Mike, it's a pretty low key weekend for horse racing, which I'm fine with. It's not going to build back up again until Thanksgiving weekend. So unless you have any final thoughts, we can hop over to this, talk some football.
Let's do it.
All right. Race the Dudes Who Bet Sports, which, by the way, I did not get it. I had to stop listening to part of the way through. Really not happy about that. I got to go back and check it out. But the latest show is available there. It's on the YouTube channel. You can download the podcast the same way you get our podcast for Magic Mike Show and Blinkers Off. You've got the Kansas City. Jared Welch is at the Las Vegas Golden Knights, 5-4 versus 5-3. Huge showdown for the AFC West. Mike Samich, what you doing?
Oh, man. I still kind of trust Kansas City. You know, you get plus 175 on Kansas City to win that division right now. That kind of feels like a steal. It kind of feels like a steal, especially since they're like the leader of the division right now is the 5-3 Las Vegas Raiders and the 5-3 Los Angeles Chargers, who don't ever play a home game, and who have a rookie coach and who, by the way, went 9-for-9 on fourth down when they started out like 4-1 or whatever. So, to me, I think Kansas City at plus 175 to win that division is probably a pretty decent price. We got a nice game tonight where my Miami Dolphins are going to get shellacked by the Baltimore Ravens. So if you want to go ahead and play Baltimore -8.5, I wouldn't talk you off it. It's also a really good teaser leg, so you can get 8.5 down to 2.5. So that's how I'm playing this game. I'm going to play a bunch of teasers starting out with Baltimore. I really like a couple second legs. I think you can tease up the Cleveland Browns from plus 2.5 to plus 8.5. I think that's another solid teaser leg. I like teasing up the Philadelphia Eagles from 2.5 to 8.5 against Denver Broncos. And then, I mean, outside of that, there's nothing crazy. But like right now, I think KC minus 2.5 is also a good bet. The NFL board's actually pretty good this week. I think you can have a lot of fun with it. And guess who I'm going to take? Your Detroit Lions. Give me those 8.5 points against the Steelers.
Eight and a half against the Steelers?
Yeah, against the shell of Ben Roethlisberger that cannot move the football down the field.
Watch him look like the second coming of Cordell Stewart.
I mean, the Bears should have just beaten them. If literally the referees did not cheat for the Steelers, the Bears would have just beaten them. Do you have a Bears
cheating,
hat there?
That's how we win. That's how we win is cheating.
The wild refereeing there was absolutely crazy. All right, let's see this real quick. Dennis likes the Cowboys -9, Saints Titans under. I like that Saints Titans under. Pats 1.5. Who are they playing? They have a big game this week, don't they? Patches. Oh, they're playing the Browns. That one I think is interesting because I like both those teams are going to want to run the ball. That total's got to be low, right? Oh, 45. I like the under on that total too. Team total Eagles, I can get behind you there. Raiders plus 2.5. I'm on the other side of that one. The Raiders, I think, are actually pretty good. But the Chiefs at some point have to figure this out. They're like, their defense is starting to get marginally better, and it should be a middle of the pack defense. It should not be 28th in the league. The problem is, man, they really need to figure out what's going on with this offense, which is crazy to say, but they seem to have one red zone turnover every single game, and they need a third option. I honestly think OBJ would have been the best addition for them from like the teams that were going after him, because it gets a third person on that field. And like when you think back about it, even Sammy Watkins last year, how much more dynamic they were with Sammy Watkins. Like they just need that third guy they can go to.
Instead, they ended up on the Los Angeles Rams, so that's fantastic.
What is their 1-2-3-4 now? Cup's the slot guy, right?
Yeah, he's best in the slot.
Then you got Woods, right? And then who's their other dude?
If anybody can get Stafford to make this all work, I mean, they're in the right position. It's just, it always just makes, because of what happened in Cleveland. But it's also, it's Cleveland. I mean, no offense to Browns fans. I'm very happy that they got rid of OBJ because I forget what the exact number were, but their record without OBJ versus with him is night and day, and that's not how that was supposed to work.
It's not great. I'm just surprised he went to the Rams. Like, if you're him, do you really want to go there? Like, this is a really important contract for him, right? I mean, you're not going to be, if you don't do well in this contract, you're not going to get another big contract, right? And you're going to be behind Woods and Kupp. So, like, he is clearly going to be the third option, most likely. And so, is this the best spot for you to show out? Like, I don't see it.
It reminds me of when Chad Ochocinco went to the Patriots. It's like, at that point, he had a really shitty reputation, and he needed to go somewhere with a winner where he could rebuild his reputation. I think that's what he's going to try and do. I think he's going to try and show that he can be a team player and that he's not a poison, and that he'll be able to say, my talent's great, and look what I did. I fit in with this team, so now give me $100 million so that you can't pay anybody else.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like, where does he go to get $100 million then? Like, where's the next box? It's just, man, it's a mess. Yeah. But the Rams are awfully dangerous now. I mean, this is this is a significant ad. I know he's not as good as he was a couple of years ago, but this is still a very significant ad for a team that already has a plethora of weapons and definitely didn't necessarily need another one of them. Jody, how about them Cowboys? I kind of like them this week because they were so bad last week. And if you also like, they're giving 9 to Atlanta. Atlanta kind of sucks, and they probably will continue to suck. And their new so they took the coordinator. I think it was Arthur Smith. Anyway, they took Tennessee's offensive coordinator, and he has not been great. He's been pretty bad all year. He looks a little bit overmatched for the head coach. And you really expect them to kind of turn it around at some point, and it just doesn't seem like they can turn it around. And the only thing that he's done successfully is make Cordell Patterson relevant in the NFL, which like 8 other teams tried to do and were unable to. the Cowboys should come up and they should – you'd expect them to put it on Atlanta here, especially after that Denver game. The Denver game was also a little misleading. I was like flying back from California from the Breeders' Cup and had that game on, and like I watched the entire game. They had multiple fourth and shorts in the first half where either receivers dropped the ball or they didn't convert with a dumb run play to Ezekiel Elliott. They had multiple drops in that game. Like, it shouldn't have been the score was. It shouldn't have been 30-0. Dallas probably should have had the lead at half if they convert those fourth downs or if they catch the ball. And so I don't think that game was necessarily as bad as it looked. I would kind of be interested in the Dallas team total over because I expect that they will score a lot of points against this Atlanta team.
Well, building off of that, I know last weekend was Breeders' Cup in BCBC, and you were a little focused and preoccupied with that, so you didn't get to do a Samo six-pack, but are you planning to put one up this weekend? Can we look forward to some more Samo winning plays?
They should be back this week, so make sure you check it out on Friday on RacingDudes.com. Sports site.
RacingDudes.com/sports. That's where we find all this great information along with the Dudes Who Bet Sports show. It really is fantastic. Go check that out and check out all of the free pick analysis here over RacingDudes.com/sports. That's going to do it for this episode of the Magic Mike Show. We're going to get out of here and go enjoy a little family time for Thursday Night Football. Kids going, Mike. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Curtis Kellard. He is at SumOfBum18, #1, #8, Corporate Overloads at Racing_Dudes. Any parting words before we get out of here?
We got Good Chalk, Bad Chalk tonight at 9 o'clock. If anyone wants to degen out on some Remington Park in Charlestown, Brady and I will be over on the Equinedge channel talking about some live betting strategy. So make sure you check it out.
It's 9 Eastern.
9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Perfect. I just want to make sure that I figured it probably was. If it was 9 p.m. for my time, it's midnight for you. And yeah, yeah, I don't think
Charlestown isn't running. Remington might still be.
Yeah, Remington will still be going. They're only halfway through the card at that point. But yeah, no, go check that out. Brady, I got to meet him at BCBC. He's a really great guy. So the show is a lot of fun. Check that out. We'll be back on Monday to recap everything that happened. And hey, maybe we'll have a little midweek pick four ticket. We'll see what happens. Until then, I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
Good luck this weekend.
The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
Death, taxes, and Magic Mike on Monday.